There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial. In the second part of the show, this is podcast number 534, October 26th, 2011. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you the items that you want, need, and desire. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, F1 Weekly sends their deepest condolences to the family of Marco Simoncelli. The inaugural Indian Grand Prix, are we all excited? New Jersey, the host of the 2013 United States Grand Prix, alongside our wonderful friends in Austin, Texas.
So, USGP point two or something?
Something like that. East Coast, mid-coast, I'm not sure, but we'll talk about it. And of course, I will do my end-of-season book review to help you guys go out and buy goodies for your racing familia. Let's not forget, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Well, another big drag in motorsports with the passing of Marco Simoncelli. Second lap of the Malaysian Grand Prix, hit by two other drivers.
Yeah, just I
died.
He was probably gone before he even got off the track. But just a horrible accident, and also I feel for the two guys that hit him, because now you know they've got that running through their heads for Simon or for Marco's family. Yet another weekend where we get to spend the week mourning the loss of another motorsports athlete.
Yeah, and a great individual, and his father had some super eloquent words that you could find online. I'm not worthy of repeating them, but just unbelievable tragedy, and it's tough, and a lot of people say these things happen in threes, so let's just hope they're wrong.
Yeah, let's hope it's the passing of someone whose time has come kind of thing, rather than not another young life.
I concur. So, yeah, another brutal week. We have the Indian Grand Prix, Stephen, this weekend.
Very interested to see how this is going to turn out. New track, always exciting. See if they can fill the stands. I heard that they were cutting prices this week to try to pack them out.
Yep. Grand Prix tickets have been slashed in an attempt to fill the circuit to capacity for the inaugural race. There are still more than 40,000 of the 120,000 tickets available. So get your tickets while you can. And fans can now opt for only race day tickets at discounted prices instead of season tickets, which were a little on the high side. And I think when they say season tickets, I think they mean
weekend pass.
Yeah, it's a 3-day pass for Friday practice, Saturday, and Sunday.
But if they get 80,000 in the stands, that ought to be pretty impressive.
It will be pretty impressive. And most inaugural Grand Prix do well. It's usually the second and third one.
Exactly, the ones that you really have got to worry about.
Because, yeah, a lot of praise was heaped on the cameramen for the Korean Grand Prix, because they did such a great job in not showing the empty seat.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. I saw lots of empty seats.
Well, that cameraman was fired. It's sad to say it, but what I didn't understand is they're already trying to renegotiate the Korean Grand Prix to bring it back next year. And some of these, you know, I know they only had
a 2-year contract.
Yep. And not only that, but the facilities out in the boonies, in the swamps,
Yeah, I'm surprised that Bernie's allowing them to continue, because isn't the reason why we have no French Grand Prix is because it's out in the boonies?
Well, I'm not going to talk about the French Grand Prix because I'm super bitter inside. The other bad news is Karun Chandhuk will not be driving for Lotus. Apparently, Tony Fernandez told him that it is just too important for us to do well. In other words, Karun, you're just really not up to snuff.
Yarno should have stepped aside.
Well, I think, is he really going to do that much worse than Yarno Trulli?
Yeah, exactly. The car isn't that fast. I don't think it's going to make a big difference if it's Karun Chandhuk or it's Yarno Trulli in the car. But it's Tony's call, so.
I agree.
Maybe you should at least drive a practice.
Well, he is. He's going to be running in Friday practice, and he says, quote, "I'm very excited about driving in the new Bud International Circuit in Friday practice one in front of my home crowd. While I am obviously disappointed that I won't have the chance to race on Sunday, I accept the team's decision to opt for the experience and talent they have at their disposal." Excuse me, at their disposal. That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah, I'm really wondering, too, why, you know, Chandhuk didn't just find somebody with some cash and buy the other HRT seat for the weekend.
Well, you mean have both Nachrain Karthikeyan and Karun Chandhuk at HRT?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting, but, you know, to have two Indian drivers at the back of the pack. Nachrain was, of course, there's a lot of media attention on him because he's got the secured drive for the race, and he's trying to explain to people why he's not going to be in front, but at the back. And
yeah, Vince Antonio was so disappointed that he wasn't going to race this weekend. He went and raced in Australia over the weekend.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are really not very happy that there's an Indian Grand Prix, including the people of India.
Really?
Believe it or not, there are a lot of poor people in India.
No.
I know, but it's true. And Formula One is the last thing some of these people need. There's a great article by from Reuters that I'm just going to give you a glimpse into this article, but I thought it was excellent. It says, situated in western Uttar Pradesh state, about an hour's drive from New Delhi, the Formula One track is connected by a new highway through the capital's booming outskirts of anonymous office blocks and cement skeletons of soon-to-be-built colleges. Within the circuit grounds, where shiny Mercedes-Benz display cars are parked, poor Indian women used brushes and their hands to sweep dust and stones from an access road, their children playing nearby. Nearby in Salapur village, Mira, who is illiterate and could only guess her age, held a sick child in her arms, suffering from malaria twice. Rubbish lay in ponds of stagnant water. A young calf grazed on garbage, and this is close to the track. "I don't understand this concept of cars racing for entertainment," she said. "People pay money to watch this?" Nearby workers sprayed the manicured lawns around the F1 track with water in last-minute preparations. Mira, who has electricity for 4 hours a day, must walk a half an hour to the nearest water pump. I don't know. Politically, it's not going to be a huge hit.
Well, apparently it can't be that bad if they did it anyway.
Well, a lot of countries do it anyway when they shouldn't. But there you have it. That's just my little slice of the other side of the story. So, very good. And I'm looking forward to this Grand Prix. Apparently, everybody says the track, of course, this is another Tilke.
Yeah, but he's gotten better as he's grown. So, let's hope he hits another home run, maybe another Turkey-esque course would be nice.
Yes. No, I think it's going to be a pretty interesting race. I think it's going to be a good race. Amidst all the constructural problems they had in the last 2 years putting this together, and a lot of people mocked them because the Commonwealth Games were such a disaster, and some of the buildings were a disaster, the construction methods were a disaster, so they had to redeem themselves with this Formula One circuit.
Well, the other thing, nice thing too, is that didn't pour the asphalt 2 weeks ago, like we had with the Korean Grand Prix, where we were basically going, is the track going to be cured or not?
Correct. And I don't know that much, and I haven't been looking at this, but I still don't know very much about what the weather's going to be like. I know Pirelli, they're saying they're now trying to figure out what to do with 2012 tires, and they're going to be experimenting here.
On a brand new track that no one's ever run on.
Well,
that doesn't make a lot of sense. But
well, it's a better, you have no data, so
yeah.
It's actually an open book. You might as well start writing something.
Right, exactly.
So I found that fascinating, but still, I think it's going to be a great race. McLaren expects to be super fast. Red Bull will be fast. Ferrari, they're trying to lift themselves from the bootstraps.
They need to kind of redeem themselves. They haven't really shown all that well. They've, you know, been competitive, but when you've got your guy out front or in second place and you end up off the podium, that's maybe a little bit embarrassing.
Not only that, but Sebastian Vettel has come out and said that he will help Mark Webber come in second in the Drivers' Championship.
Does that mean he'll let him win?
We have enough races. I'm not sure. But he could.
Yeah, because, you know, Vettel doesn't really have a really strong incentive to let Mark win, because doesn't Vettel get like an extra $500,000 when he wins?
I'm not sure, but Christian Horner might have took him aside and said, you know, why don't we give Mark a present? Sort of like what Michael Schumacher did with Rubinho.
Oh, I think it also, too, it looks good for the team if they can finish the year with their drivers 1-2 as well as winning the Constructors' Championship. A very convincing victory for the season.
Yeah, that's called world domination.
Exactly.
And I guess that does look pretty good in the eyes of your fellow competitors. But still, I found it interesting, and I'm sure Ferrari's Fernando Alonso will be motivated to try to nip that in the bud.
Well, that and the two McLaren drivers, too.
Yeah, Jensen's on a roll. Hamilton looked great in Korea.
Despite being dumped by his girlfriend, possibly. Rumor has it.
And see, I don't bring up stuff. That's just,
I had to.
I understand, but you read those kinds of newspapers.
No,
I
read those kind of F1 sites.
Yeah, I'm not going to get involved. There you have it. So I'm pretty pumped up. It's going to be a great weekend. I'll be interested to see what Nasser has to say about the Indian Grand Prix in our Motorsports Mundial segment. Of course, the big news, the United States Grand Prix 2013, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has confirmed that his state will host the Formula One Grand Prix of 2013. Christie said that the race will take place on a 3.2-mile street circuit running on existing roads through Port Imperial and at the top of the Palisades in Weehawken and West New York. So it's a great location, picturesque. I'm happy. Of course, people forget that New Jersey is sort of famous for getting a lot of deals done quickly because there are criminal elements that go back to the 30s, also known as MAFIA. You notice FIA in the name. Thank you. And we'll see what happens, but trust me, there's garbage contracts. All the vendors at the track, trust me, all this is controlled by a very huge organization that makes lots of money, Stephen. Especially in New Jersey. This will get done because these people know how to get things done. Of course, cement overshoes will be used occasionally if somebody drops the ball.
Yeah, as I mentioned in a reply to someone's message earlier, when I see the lights go out, I'll believe it.
Oh, it's done. Because those guys over there know what to do.
Though, if I were the guys in Austin, I might be a little bit perturbed.
Perturbed?
Because didn't they sign like a 5-year deal?
Yeah, but they're already having management changes. Signing deals means nothing. You know this, Stephen.
Yeah, but Bernie's going to still try to go collect his money.
Yeah, and he will. He collected Bahrain's money. I love Bernie. And I'm starting to like him more and more every day. But there you have it. I think it's great. 2013. What's fantastic is international jet set kind of neighborhood. You got New York. I mean, that whole hub in the East Coast, D.C., not too far away.
I probably actually have some place to stay close by the track, too.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Unlimited amounts of hotels. This is...
Well, I have friends in Jersey now. So.
Do you? We all have friends in Jersey, Stephen. So there you have it. I'm very excited. I think it's great. Congratulations to Governor Christie for this coup.
Oh, so now we know why Christie's not running for president.
Exactly. He's waiting for Bernie to be available for his VP. So it's exciting. Quickly getting back, closing in on the end of the season, and some drivers still have no contracts. That means Heinrich Gashwari, Sebastian Buemi, Adrian Sutil. All these people are wondering whether they'll be there in 2012.
And silly season's been a little bit thin this year, too.
It has. Well, it's interesting. You do have some interesting talent sitting and waiting to pounce, like Jean-Éric Vergne. You got Nico Hülkenberg waiting at Force India. Nico Rosberg looks like he's going to stay at Mercedes Grand Prix. He's doing his contract as we speak. We know Schumacher's going to stay. So all the rumors of Rosberg maybe going and replacing Massa, that's out of the question.
No.
Jenson Button has now signed a contract. We know Hamilton and Button will be there next year. Mark Webber
is signed, so. And we know that Vettel signed for a couple of years.
Yes, exactly.
So that's not changing.
So we really don't know much except for maybe Sergio Perez possibly going to Ferrari. Massa could stay at Ferrari for one more year and then go. But it's still
Renault's still kind of a little up in the air.
Renault is a complete disaster, and not only driver-wise, but financially.
Really?
Trust me. There's a lot more than meets the eye here with Renault, and we shouldn't even be calling them Renault. I think Red Bull is really the Renault works team, and Lotus GP is Lotus GP, and that will be the names next year for sure. Also, Adrian Sutil, he wants to know. He doesn't like waiting around and wondering.
Yeah, well, it's tough. Put in a couple of good years.
It's part of the game, Steve. Yeah. You get paid.
Well,
shut up.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you.
When you're not one of the top five, this is what you get to deal with.
Well, he says he can't wait till December, and he's getting mad. Vijay Mallya, though, he says that I will speak to him very soon and see what his ideas are. I don't need to wait so long for a seat, he says. I think I know what I can do so I don't feel insecure. Take it easy, Adrian. You never know. But
it comes down to Vijay's the one that writes the check, and I imagine Hülkenberg's probably going to be a little cheaper.
Hülkenberg's not only going to be a little cheaper, but, you know, it's time. Yeah, he's seen what a young gun can do, like Dorista, who's done quite well.
Yeah,
I think it's time for Nico Hülkenberg to get a race seat.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I really kind of am sorry that Williams cut him loose.
Robert Kubica, talk about him. Of course, Renault says first they wanted a decision soon. Now they're giving him a little more time. His manager says that we can now think about getting him back into a race car as soon as possible because he is already showing miraculous recovery.
You think we'll see him in a Friday practice before the end of the season?
I don't know about that. It could be a private test session. The media and everything would be just overwhelming. It could be very distracting. I'm sure he's been in simulators already.
Does Lotus Renault have the ability to get a downrev car to put on a private track?
Yes. There are a number of tracks outside of Paris.
Yeah, it's the track. It's the car. I'm more rather than the.
I agree. There are still some medical issues. His doctor says there's one more small intervention to improve the mobility of his wrist that needs to be done.
That's probably just the cleaning out of some scar tissue.
So we'll see. I'm looking forward to any kind of statement that says he's back in town.
Yeah. I really want to see him in a car.
Anyway, before we go to break, I want to recommend a book. It's a good book.
Clark Rogers reads?
Not only do I read, but I love it. I do have my secret life outside of the Palatial Studios, but my book review for this month is called The Limit, Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit by Michael Cannell, published by 12books.com. It's the story of the 1961 Grand Prix at Monza and all its characters. It's really a great read. Even though you know, you've probably read Phil Hill's biography or Von Tripp's biography, they do go their lives over a little bit, but they begin to get into Enzo Ferrari, the build-up to the 1961 World Championship, of course, with Phil Hill and Von Tripps. It's an excellent read. I highly recommend this. Once again, The Limit, Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit by Michael Cannell. So there you have it, Steve. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, And we'll be back after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Hello and welcome to Motorsports Mondial. Sad but true. Weekend Dan Weldon is laid to rest. Another tragedy takes the life of MotoGP rider Marco Simoncelli at Sepang. The Malaysian MotoGP round was only on the second lap when Simoncelli fell from his bike. Both Colin Edwards and Valentino Rossi had no chance nor time to take any evasive action. Simoncelli was hit by both and suffered serious head, neck and chest injuries. And of course, very rightly so, the race was called off. Marco Simoncelli was born on January 20, 1987 in the Rimini town of Cattolica. At age 15, he won the 2002 European 125cc Championship. In 2008, he scored his first 250cc victory on home soil and was crowned 250cc champion at the end of the season. The following season, he finished third in the same category and for 2010 moved to the Premier League with Gresini Honda team. His first MotoGP pole came this year in Barcelona, and first podium appearance was in Brno, Czech Republic. His highest career finish in MotoGP was in the previous round at Phillip Island, where he was second to Stoner. And earlier in the show, you mentioned about comments his father had made, you know, very touching and very powerful, just like the comments made by Dan Weldon's widow. But a really, really sad tragedy. And you know, I saw that, I was watching this thing, and it just reminded me back in 19, I had to look it up, but it was in 1983, and there was a Italian rider, Marco Uncini. He had a similar type of accident. He fell down, and he was trying to run away from the track, and he was hit very hard by Wayne Gardner's bike, and his helmet also flew off. Badly hurt, he was in coma, I don't know for how long, but he survived. And today, the same gentleman, Marco Uncini, is the rider's safety representative for MotoGP, and he was also at Malaysia. But very sad, and you know, a lot of it is on the web, so we don't want to, you know, talk too much about it. It's such a tragedy, and like you said, condolences to the Simoncelli family, and I understand he will be buried this Thursday. 24 years old. Very, very sad. You have any comment on this?
No, it was another tragedy, and you know, I was still coming down from
the Weldon thing
exactly when this popped up, and I was just—it was just a shock, you know. It just rattles through your body, especially you know for us, we're always reading and thinking motorsports, and
it's so safe. You don't expect these things.
No, and I have to admit, in this particular case, there was, you know, there's nobody really to blame. You can't blame the track.
No.
All the conditions are very safe. It just, you know, wrong place, wrong time, and these things do happen, and a lot of people forget in motorsports, it's still an extremely dangerous profession.
Yeah, you know, I was up very late Saturday night, and I think it was only 1 hour before the start of the race. I said, I'll just record it and watch it later, and in the morning, I, you know, as always, I log on autosport.com. I just could not believe, and I saw the news. Very sad. Okay, we will move on. And, of course, you know, just his team, Gresini Honda, will not take part in the final round, which is coming up at Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we look at some racing action and info from other series. Start spreading the news from Austin to Weehawken. We have Formula Uno in America. Other headlines, Mika Hakkinen going to China to race. Sebastian Bourdais wins in the land of Mate and V8. More action in Hockenheim, Suzuka, and NASCAR. And as far as the United States Grand Prix is concerned, let me tell you, I am very excited, and we'll talk more about it later on. Good thing is we'll have two very different types of flavor, but equally good, because the sound of the Formula One car is same, whether it's Texas or Talladega.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay, we shall start with the World Rally Championship, Rally Catalunya. Sebastian Loeb is the winner, and now leads the championship by 8 points. His teammate, Sebastian Ogier, dropped out with engine failure late in the rally in Spain. Mikko Hirvonen was second. His fourth teammate, oh, this was interesting. His fourth teammate, Jari Matti Latvala, was running second when he received a radio message from his team. Mikko is faster than you. I had no idea Rob Smedley was doing some...
He's moonlighting.
Moonlighting for Ford.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, not only that, but this engine failure for Ogier is actually pretty rare at Citroën.
Oh, I'm sure. Citroën, Peugeot, Renault, they never fail, right? Yeah.
But it's true. No, it's really bad luck on his part. I don't know what his technicians were doing, but I think they were monkeying around with something. Yeah.
Danny Sordo was fourth in a Mini ahead of fellow Mini man Chris Meek. But it's pretty obvious at Citroën who they want to see win the championship this year. Like it is pretty obvious at Scuderia Ferrari.
Well, that's how you manage a good team. You got a Uno and a Doso.
Yeah, Doso or So-So. Okay, DTM, Deutschen Touring Meisterschaft or something like that. You know, the BMW car has been unveiled with the new official colors.
Very nice.
White with the BMW colors. Red, dark blue, light blue. Looks beautiful.
I know. I keep expecting Nick Heidfeld standing next to it, but not happened yet.
No, not yet. DTM season finale at Hockenheim saw first win of the year for Jamie Green, who in days gone by used to race in F3 Euro Series. New champion Martin Tomczyk was second, and third was Miguel Molina from Spania, who started from pole. Your favorite, Ralf Schumacher, was 11th, and his friend DC 17th. 15th was a new name, but an experienced driver in DTM, Mrs. Susie Wolf, previously known as Susie Stoddard. The wolf on Susie's clothing comes from Christian Toto Wolf, the Austrian businessman who is now a part shareholder in Williams Grand Prix Racing. And he is also involved in driver management with Didier Coton and Mika Hakkinen. He has big bucks. F3 Euro Series, see, when you have big bucks, you can hang out with, you know, like Natasha Gashnow or maybe Danica Patrick.
Yeah, and she is my friend on Facebook.
Oh, really?
And don't forget, quickly back to DTM, Ralf Schumacher re-signed for 2012 for Mercedes.
Yes.
They're just so happy with him.
Yeah, they have both the Schumachers now.
It's
very
beautiful.
Good.
Yeah,
it's a full lineup now.
It is.
F3 Euro Series, also in Acción at Hockenheimring. New champion Roberto Meri from Spain was the winner in race one, his 10th victory of the season. Felix Rosenqvist of Sweden was second. Rosenqvist won the second race of the weekend, and I believe this is the first time victory in the series by a Swedish driver. His first victory in the series after sixth runner-up position this year, so congratulations to Mr. Rosenqvist. Meri was second and then went on to win the third and final race of the weekend, in which Dutch driver Nigel Melker was second. You know, F3 Euro Series is having a lot of problem because of GP3, and I heard a rumor from somebody in Germany that they may not be around next year. Kumo, their tire supplier, has pulled out, but they can always get other tires, you know. And they also unveiled the new car, which looks pretty good for all the F3 Series, but let's see what happens. Tin Tops, WTCC at Suzuka. Winner in race one was Swiss driver Alain Menu, and second was his British Chevy teammate Rob Huff. Eighth was Mehdi Benani of Morocco, and 12th was Javier Villa, who used to race in GP2. And Javier Villa at one time was coming through the system, just like Mike Conway of England, and things were looking very, very rosy. But now it's not so rosy, unfortunately. Second race of the weekend was won by Dutchman Tom Coronel over the Chevy of Ivan Muller. And if memory serves me right, Tom Coronel did some races in IndyCars also, if I remember correctly. V8s, now we go from World Tin Tops to the Australian Tin Tops V8 Series. At Surface Paradise, the Gold Coast 600, Jamie Vincup and Sebastien Bourdais were the winners in race one over Will Davison and Mika Salo. And I like the story of Mika Salo and Mika Hakkinen growing up on the same street in Finlandia, Helsinki. But I got the impression when I was talking to him that they are not friends.
That happens.
I wonder why. Second race was won by Mark Winterbottom, also known as Frosty, and Richard Lyons. Wincup and Bordet was second. So very impressive performance by Bordet, and he was awarded the Dan Weldon Trophy, which will be awarded to the visiting foreign driver in every year. So this is good for him. NASCAR at Talladega, your favorite series, and we cut to the chase. Clint Bowyer was winner over teammate Jeff Burton. Monty was 23rd and Greg Biffle 14th. This is win number 100 for the Richard Childress team, and this is the team Dale Earnhardt Sr. used to drive for. The race was, this is especially for you. The race was for 188 laps and took 3 hours, 29 minutes, and 14 seconds to complete. Unfortunately, tragically, F1 Weekly's official abacus was going through routine maintenance, so we were unable to count the cautions, but there were quite a few.
3 hours and 29 minutes?
That's on a super speedway. Can you believe that? Oh, let me tell you, if they do these races for like 100, 150 miles, I'll be glued to the TV like you won't believe.
That's a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, they almost need to run it in heats just to get to the fewer cars on the track to... Yeah, create the Swiss models.
Yeah, but a sprint race is like fantastic on a super speedway. Big Apple gets the big show. This thing really put a smile on my face all day today. And this, even though I've spent very little time in New York City or New Jersey area, to me it's like a home Grand Prix.
Well, you listen to a lot of Sinatra. You know, you love
start Hoboken. Spreading the news.
You know, you're that kind of a guy.
They have names of towns like Hoboken, Piscataway.
Up the avenues. I can see you just New having York. A great time.
Oh, no, I love
New
that place.
New York.
Oh, yeah, and we have quite a few friends in
these middle town races.
Yeah. They are over in 2 hours. Yeah, you know what happened one time when the first time NASCAR did their banquet they used to do at the Waldorf Astoria. Mm. So these TV people, ESPN, whoever was covering, they went out and it was a big, you know, they were doing a big promotion. King Richard Petty is coming, you know. So they're going around asking people, do you know who the king is? People saying, like, Don King, Elvis Presley.
Nobody. A lot of kings over there.
Yeah. And they're not... This will going to be a huge success because, you know, New Jersey, you have a lot of people with names like our familia member, Signor Pasquale, Valentino, and, you know, Giuliani.
Scagliotti.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bandini.
Scarlatti.
Yeah, so this is going to be fantastic.
Corleone.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Big New York City and New Jersey will have a Formula One race in the streets starting 2013. If only Tavo Hellman knew who he was dealing with. And we will come to that Texas versus New York issue in a minute. As I have always said, and you know I've been saying this for a long time, place to hold a major international event of this magnitude is Coastal Americana. And I'm extremely happy and elated to see Bernie bringing his screaming show so close to Brooklyn. Now, people always say, I heard from so many American racing fans, oh, I don't want to go to the U.S. Grand Prix at Indy because Indy sucks. Or there's nothing to see in Indianapolis. To each his own. But question of the day is, who in this world would not want to come to an F1 race and see the wonders such as Brooklyn Bridge, Times Square, and this is my favorite, the Apple Store and the Post Office, which are open 24 hours, the mass of humanity moving through Port Authority Trans-Hudson, also known as PATH trains. You have to see this scene at around 4 or 5 o'clock. These trains backed in at this one of those big stations there. Unbelievable how many trains are there and how many people are moving. And, of course, Coney Island hot dogs. Just can't have one. So... this would be perfect place for F1 Weekly picnic.
Absolutely. Listeners. F1 Weekly will have the big picnic.
Absolutely. The last United States Grand Prix was in 2007 at Indianapolis, and the winner was Lewis Hamilton over his McLaren teammate, who left the Woking building in such a hurry, as Mr. Brazier found out, he left no trace behind. Who can it be now, Mr. Rogers?
Huh. Just
double world champion?
I don't know. It just sort of escapes me.
Oh, yeah.
Felipe Massa?
Okay. Well, you know, what do you think will be the effect on the Texas Grand Prix of this situation, or vice versa?
Well, we'll see in the upcoming weeks. Obviously, Americans really like competition, and one race is going to want to top the other race. Now, in Texas, we know that everything's big.
Yep.
And we don't mess with Texas.
Nope.
So,
and it's like a whole other country, they say.
In some people, I don't know, I've seen shirts where Texas is actually exaggerated, and then the rest of the United States is really not very necessary. So it's going to be very interesting.
It's locked in between the horns.
Yeah. The mentalities of these two corners of this country are so different that we'll see what happens. Now, the only thing I have a problem with is I know the Circuit of the Americas has had some management changes. They're already going through that. There was a work slowdown. Now that it's picked up again. So for me, let's see what happens.
You know, this is what I'm saying. This is what happens, first of all, when you deal with shrewd people like Bernie Ecclestone. I am surprised that Tavo did not ask for some sort of a non-compete clause that, hey, you cannot have a... I mean, you could... American
kind of exclusivity clause for a 5 years or something.
Yeah.
Just like the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, because, you know, America is such a big and successful place. You cannot tell people, hey, I'm the only show in town. And like you said, Americans love competition, which is very true. So this, I think, is not going to be very good for Texas. But the Texas track looks to be very nice. And hopefully it will, as borrow a phrase from Ross Perot, we'll hear a giant second sound coming in from Mexico and other South America. But, you know, it will be very, very shameful if one of the race fails because of the other race. And I'll tell you, like you said, the places are very different. But I got to tell you something. I've never been to Austin, Texas. I know a lot of people who've done business there, lived there. Anything that I've read about that place, it's very, very positive. So I think it's a good place to have a Formula One race. And I'll tell you, if these things can survive here for 5-10 years, both of them, that'll be so fantastic. Because Texas is not too far from here. Once you hop on a Southwest Airline flight.
Nonstop.
And, yeah, and then you have a lot of flight. The thing about having a race, I'm really, really excited. If you're having a race in, let's say, within 100 miles of San Francisco, LAX, New York City, I would say there were at least maybe 200 nonstop flights coming into JFK every day from Europe. And that's a lot of freaking flights. You know, there's no shortage of hotels. The East Coast public transport system is much better than what we have here. So it will be very, very nice. I am really, really elated. And I'm like, yeah, right on. And this is the place to have a race.
Yeah.
And you've been to Manhattan. It's just an incredible place.
Yeah, so, it's incredible. And most of the people that I've spoken to so far are saying that they'll attend both races.
Oh, absolutely. Why would you not? I mean, if you can. Because, you know, one is a street race, one is a purpose-built race. So it's just going to be fantastic. I am very happy because, you know, I have some, my sister is in D.C. area, so New York City is not too far. And I've caught a few friends and also F1 Weekly Familia members who are there. So it's going to be super-duper, like Gary Cooper. And friends mean free accommodation in New York City. And let me tell you, the hotels in Manhattan, without a race, no matter what time you go, they're always very expensive. But that's expected on a, in a big city.
Yeah, even with our F1 Weekly discount.
Oh, there is such a thing as a F1 Weekly discount?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, but like you say, with the public transportation that's available on the East Coast, yeah, especially in that area, you could be 50, 100 miles away and hop a train and be there in an hour.
Yeah.
Without a problem.
Yeah. And, you know, this property, most of the area where the race will take place is owned by some gentleman. And so it's private property. It's private money coming in. So they don't have to worry about spatial tax or, you know, some pissed off people saying, hey, I didn't get my electricity today, so there will be no race.
MIFIA.
MI? Yeah. We're having spelling issues now.
Paying Bernie's multi-million-dollar sanctioning fee.
Well, there's no shortage of people in America with big bucks, you know, $25 million when you're talking to people up in the upper tier of Americana is nothing. And I'm sure they have all
but
sorts
of... most
of
them don't give you $25 million to host a race.
No, but
they want something in return.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, New York City, you cannot go to a sponsor and have them ask you, well, where is the race? The race is right here in New York City, baby. You know, what do you need to know? It's the advertising capital of the world and media capital. It's just, I am very, very happy.
And don't forget, Steve, in New Jersey, you're not asked to sponsor. You're told to sponsor.
Yeah.
Come on, Steven.
Or you get a couple of bricks.
Still want to know where Bernie's...
Cement overshoes.
Was it $25 million that Austin's paying for...
Or UPS delivers you a box. It's a small box. And you say, why is it so heavy? And you open it, and it's a couple of cement blocks. And you get the message.
With laces.
Yes. You get the... Or you get a donkey's head shipped by FedEx. And now stay away from New Jersey for a month or two, okay?
Yeah, let's...
Let's move on to, here's another pushy Paul situation. Adrian Sutil forcing the issue on Force India. Rumors are getting stronger and stronger that Adrian Sutil will be replaced at Force India by another young German, Nico Hülkenberg. The piano man is pushing team owner Vijay Mallya to put down his chutney and show him some money for 2012. I don't think what happened in China where he became the slasher on that guy, Eric Lux of Jenny Capital. I don't think that made the decision, but it sure could not have helped.
I don't think it's going to influence too much.
Yeah, I think, but Sutil, I think, is out of FI, Force India. Sutil does bring sponsorship to the team from the German computer company Medion, but they have now been bought out, if I remember correctly, by Chinese computer company Lenovo. And these are the people who took over IBM's PC business some years ago, so they may sit back and think, which used to be their logo. And this Chinese company, apparently their corporate offices for worldwide operations are based not in China, but in North Carolina. Interesting.
And they're going to put their money behind Ho Peng Tung.
Where all serious people are based.
Well, Jackson,
Bank of America.
Our man Jackson is a very serious businessman.
He is very serious.
Yeah. And now we're moving on to rumors are also spreading on Raikkonen returning to Formula One with Williams. So Frank Williams has been seen in Qatar, and word is that National Bank of Qatar may have interest in backing the team. Interest in backing the team meaning owning some of the team.
No, paying Raikkonen.
Yeah. Once they have the money, the team, they can pay for a top driver. And some of us, the old guard, will remember how Saudia Williams became successful in the early 80s. That was Saudi Arabian Airlines. There was, if you look at most of their cars, they have a sign in Arabic. In English, it was Al Bilad, which was a big construction group and other businesses. And there was another big construction group which also had their name on the car on a few of the races, Bin Laden Group. Kid you not.
Of course. Friends with the Bushes.
Oh, there you go.
These are all good families.
Oh, yeah. They just have some bad apples and tangerines.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so now World Series by Renault. Kevin Magnussen, who had a very strong second half in the British F3 this year, will stay with Carlin team but move up to World Series by Renault. And Czech team ISR is hoping to sign Robin Friens, who won the Formula Renault Euro Cup this year. A friend of mine who is of Dutch heritage, a big Formula One fan living in Southern California, he tells me that last name is Friens, not Friens.
You know what?
So we'll have to figure this out when I meet Robin next time.
I have stopped worried about drivers' names a couple of years ago.
Like Rosberg?
How about Worth?
Dresta?
Alexander Worth?
Yeah. There are so many variations, you just don't know, you know, what is correct. And also expected in the series but not yet confirmed is Felipe Nasr of Brazil, who won the British F3 Championship this year. Hapidos news. I'm missing Hapidos. Are you?
I am missing Hapidos.
Yeah. You know, at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, they're going to have a non-championship race. So it'll be good to see some Hapidos action. British driver James Collado, who was second in this year's GP3 Championship, will move up to GP2 next year with ART. And will be teammate to Esteban Gutierrez of Mexico, who will be in his second season in 2012. The man from Monterrey is already under contract to Sauber and took his first GP2 win this year in Valencia. And if Esteban Gutierrez has to win the GP2 championship next year.
To be machismo, he does.
To be machismo, yeah. He is quite machismo already. And I'm talking to his PR guy who's telling me that the first 10 days of December of this year, he will be in Monterrey. So if I can get a F1 Weekly discount from Mexicana or Aeromexico, I would very much like to go there because this kid in 2013 probably will be in Formula One.
Of course, and we will arrange a flight for you on Aeromexico because we prefer them. They're part of the Sky Team network.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that will include the in-flight burrito.
Oh, that's very important. It's a short flight, so it might be just an in-flight taquito.
Well, they also, exactly.
But I will enjoy whatever they serve me. And I'm sure they have free refills on horchatas, which is very, very nice.
Absolutely.
Too. Okay, there you go. Mika in China. Two-time world champion Mika Hakkinen is going kung fu fighting. The Finn will race a Mercedes SLS AMG GT in the Zhuhai six-hour race on November 13. This is part of the Intercontinental Le Mans series. He will share the car with David Arnold, never heard of him, and Kung Fu Chang, never heard of him. F1 Weekly is trying very hard to confirm if Carl Douglas will be the crew chief. Yeah. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I think Kung Fu Chang is friends with Victor Kung.
Really?
Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
But that's just okay. A suspicion.
Okay, now, you had your geopolitical commentary on India. Now we have another geopolitical commentary. But this is not for me, so don't shoot the messenger. We come to famous last words, as quoted in New York Times. Now, that's a reputable newspaper. This reality check comes from Eddie Gossage, president of Texas Motor Speedway, who said, and I quote, "In IndyCar racing, it's like the Middle East. There are so many factions and cultures, so you can't possibly understand it." End of quote. To that, I can only add, shukran and shalom. Thank you for listening. And in the ever-spinning and diversifying globe, sayonara from California.
That's so beautiful. Now that's another outstanding motorsports mondial. And there you have it.
Who's going to win the first Indian Grand Prix?
Fernando Alonso.
El Machismo?
Yeah. He's finally going to... They're going to get it all together. And, of course, Vettel's probably going to help Weber. And they're going to be experimenting with new parts for the 2012 car. And, of course, Mercedes now have this new duct. But it's legal, Steve. The F-duct is back. So that should be intriguing. They've come up with a weird system. And that's being talked about quite a bit and will be looked at closely as practice on Friday starts for the Indian Grand Prix. Now, what time is the race for us?
Race, I believe, it's like a 12-hour difference from here to, you know, that
like
part of the
hour
world.
Off of
to the homies?
Yeah, to the homies. You know, I should know because I call there.
It's so like it's an hour off of a European start.
Okay.
5 a.m. Yeah. Eastern. Is
no,
like
no, no,
no.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock our time.
Beautiful.
On Saturday, yeah.
That's perfect.
We can go and have some Indian curry, chutney, mango lassi all night long.
Are you buying?
Yeah, for you, sure.
Excellent.
So
that's what I want to hear.
We can do that and then watch the race and, you know, have some papadum on the side.
Thank you.
Yeah, I heard the track is very nice with elevation changes.
Yeah.
And apparently second fastest after Monza. But it should be a good race. I mean, you know, F1 standards are so high, you cannot screw up a track thanks to Mr. Tilke and the host country's $300 million. You cannot go wrong. What they've done, they've put the seats all in Indian national colors, which was like orange, white,
that's
and
nice.
Green. Yeah, so facility will be impressive. There's no question
about it. I'm sure it's
going
to be impressive. I mean, if they're offering 100% lamb hot dogs, we know it's going to be great.
Oh, they are, really?
Oh, absolutely.
100% lamb hot dogs? Wow.
Made from Oscar Mayer.
Why aren't they calling it lamb dogs?
You know what? Because they're hot.
Yeah, but I finally read something which I said, this is a good idea. The cheapest ticket is $50, not the usual $400 or that you see in other places. So let's hope this is a success, you know, and hopefully...
I think it will be for the inaugural. What happens next year is another story.
But you know, it's a very big country, a lot of people, over a billion people. So it will be good if motorsports is successful and then spreads out to, you know, the trickle-down theory.
Okay, Ronald to, Reagan.
Actually, you know...
I thought that was voodoo economics.
Yeah, some... They're already talking about building another track in Bombay, Mumbai.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, now we're getting the states of India getting into competition. But you know, if you remember a couple of years ago when this thing was talking about... 5 years ago, they were going to do the race in Hyderabad, which is in South India, and there was a change of government, and they said, hey, we're not going to... We have other priorities, which was a smart thing for the government to say. And then I always said what they should do is build a street race by the ocean at Goa, which used to be a Portuguese colony. And we can always take Dr. Miguel for translation there. And that it's a very, very popular destination for European and Japanese tourists. And it's a nice area. And you build a racetrack there like Montreal or Melbourne, I think that's the way to go. Something where you can use... You know, during the year also. Building a $300 million track and using it once a year, that is not good economics.
Thank you, Nasser.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Are we wrapping it up here?
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. And speaking of wrapping it up, let's do it. Let's wrap it up. San Francisco Formula One Group, SFF1.com, where me and Nasser met. They get together, they drink, they have a great time. Check them out. They're a great group. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. Just simply go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and MySpace sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and click I Love You. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. I want to remind everybody my book of the month suggestion is The Limit, Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit by Michael Cannell. And I'm sure you could go to Amazon or just go to 12books.com and order that. I think you're going to find it a fantastic read.
Search on Google for it.
Vintage Formula One racing. Is it its peak?
Is it only 61 Italian Grand Prix or the whole 61 season?
It's the 61 Italian Grand Prix. Oh. That's what it goes down to. But there's great, great history about the drivers, what was going on, what were they doing, who they were dating. Very nice book. Trust me, Nass, I've got this one pinned. Also, another book that's coming out this year is the 2012 Saison 73 Formula One Calendrier. Nasser?
Yes, sir. I'm very pleased to confirm that the final printing and binding and whatever they do will be completed this week. It will be shipped out to me, moi, by Friday, hopefully, if all goes well. And, of course, the theme is one and only, a tribute to one-hit wonders of Formula One. And we all know who the poster child is for one-hit wonders. With new motivation. Now he's going to have new motivation. He'll be on the cover of a calendar. So we have a lot of interesting, you know, stories and factoid. And we have people like Sebastian Vettel is there because one and only for Toro Rosso. Your favorite Heikki Kovalainen is there, one and only so far. And then we have Peter Gethin, who won one of the fastest, most dramatic races at Monza in 1971. We have Olivier Panis and François Sevet. So it's a pretty good calendar, powered by passion, as I like to say. So we look forward to moving some through F1 Weekly.
And, of course, we'll get some of that fantastic artwork that Nasser painstakingly goes through and chooses throughout the year. And we'll have that up on our front page soon.
Yes, Mr. Toby Dawes already has the...
And Toby Dawes will be putting this up, and that will inspire you.
Motivate you.
Le motivation. Yes, from Jean Zalesi for a purchase of a Christmas gift. So we're probably a little later than usual this year, but hey, ça c'est la vie, hein?
Hey, December is still far away.
You think so?
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, Nass. Gentlemen, I want to thank everyone who listens to the podcast. Good night.
Good night. Bye now.